Hello, everyone. This is Young Man the Prophet podcast. I'm its host, Matthew Espenlaub. This is going to be my 9th episode. I've done one episode a week now for 9 weeks. This has been turning out pretty good. Lord willing, I will continue to do this. May he also open up the ears to those who want to know more about him and want to experience his salvation and who he is, especially in this world today where there are so many different forms of belief and religions, and especially in Christianity itself. You know, there's, thousands of different forms of doctrines and everything like that, but none of it flows together. You learn these things in a book because they themselves haven't experienced what they're teaching. You know, you have to experience the Lord, and then you can talk about him from your experience. This reminds me of in the book of Psalms, in the later chapters, every year, the men of Israel would have to come up to Jerusalem. You know, I think it's 3 times a year they would. Well, each tribe making their way up to Jerusalem, you know, they would pass other tribes. And so what they would do is they would share with each other in these tribes what the Lord has done in their tribe for that year, what they have experienced in the Lord. You know, so we should have this experience that we, when we pass another son of God, that we can share with them exactly what the Lord is doing in our lives. And we can also benefit from what they have experienced, you know, not just some teaching, but truly being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. You know, this is what it's all about. You know, so this is why I do these podcasts, is to speak about the Lord and what he's doing in my life. And by his grace, I pray that at some point there will be elect that will hear this, and they will gravitate towards what I'm saying, whether it's through my podcast or my website. My website is youngmantheprophet.com, or in person. This is just my beginning after experiencing many hardships for the past 15, 20 years. Now I'm actually strong enough to start talking about the things that the Lord has done. The next phase is now to go out into the world and begin to preach these things to people face to face, which is, you know, something that is going to require God to strengthen me even more. But this is why I do these podcasts. So the prior 8 podcasts, I have spoke a little bit on Israel. I gave a explanation of what I believe and what God has caused me to experience, the Godhead, predestination, soul and spirit. And it's just a brief understanding of what God has done so that I can prepare for what I'm about to speak on next, which is the end times. So today I would like to begin to talk about these end times and what part all mankind is going to play. Whether you're in America here, whether you're in Israel, whether you're in the many other nations surrounding Israel, or just the world in general, where does mankind fit into God's plan? What is God doing in this hour? My primary thing that I want to get across is God is going to be working in Israel. He is going to be establishing himself and what he has been doing in the world for the past 2,000 years and longer in and through Israel herself. So what has God been doing for the past 2,000 years? If you look in Jesus Christ's hour, you'll see Israel waiting on a savior. They're waiting on a king to redeem them from the hold of the Roman Empire. You know, and so when Jesus came on the scene, that's what they thought he was going to do. But he died on the cross and he disappeared. And Israel scratching their head like, what's the deal? We thought this was the king. We thought this was our salvation. You know, even the disciples didn't know exactly what Jesus Christ was truly doing when he came here on earth and died and rose again. And so what Jesus Christ was displaying and showing us while he was here on earth was there's this other kingdom that must be conquered first. Then this physical kingdom will be conquered then. You know, and so it's the spiritual kingdom that Jesus Christ was truly conquering and becoming king over. and everything else is going to eventually fall in line. Well, we are in an hour now where, you know, the Christian world, you know, they don't know how to bridge this gap. They don't understand, you know, how Israel and what part she's going to play. You know, the scriptures are very clear on this, that Israel is going to rule the world and that there's going to be prosperity where there's no longer going to be death. You know, there is going to be nothing but joy and life that comes forward. Well, that hasn't obviously happened yet. You know, so how is this going to come to pass? How are we to bridge this gap? The overall theme that the church world today says is America is the same thing as Israel. We are the spiritual side of it. You know, we are Israel itself, running concurrent with the nation of Israel, which is true to extent. But what we really are is the bride of Christ is the spiritual side, not America. America is nothing but dead man's bones. America is filled with unrighteousness and wickedness and sin, and every type of debauchery you can think of is in America today. You know, there is nothing good about America. You know, though I'm from America, my flesh loves America, but the truth is the spiritual side of America is she's filled with every foul bird. She's a cage. It's a horrible mess. And the Christian world doesn't understand this because they are connected with America. You know, I am, by the grace of God, outside of this. You know, he has caused me to experience a spiritual experience that enables me to see exactly who I used to be and what he is doing now in and through me. And that separates me from the world itself. And so I can now righteously behold who America is and who Israel is. So the idea that America and Israel are one and the same is on certain levels true, because Israel's no different than America. She's wicked too. All the countries in the world are filled with darkness. You know, but there are spiritual children, sons of God, that are scattered throughout the whole entire world. They are the righteousness of God. They are what God is doing in the midst of this darkness. You know, and he has one plan, and that plan is to display himself and what he has been doing in and through Israel in Daniel's 70th week, which is the Great Tribulation. So how is this going to happen? What part does the Bride of Christ play? The main thing to see is Israel herself has always been a temperature gauge. She's always been a way of God showing himself and displaying himself to the world. In the Old Testament, that's what they have always done. They have always displayed God's salvation and the working of his salvation to everyone else. And that's what he's about to do now. But before he could do this, he needed the spiritual side to be fixed first. That's what Jesus Christ has accomplished on the cross. And it's what he's been doing for the past 2,000 years. He has been creating sons of God, spiritually speaking, that are being released from their sin. The physical body, though, hasn't been released yet. This is where we're headed to. This is what we're waiting on, the rapture, the resurrection of the dead. You know, and so when this happens, then the physical body is going to be changed. Well, Israel herself is going to display this. She might not experience the resurrection in the sense of what we're experiencing, but she's going to display us and what we have experienced, which she's going to be showing the spiritual side. She couldn't do it in the Old Testament. She wasn't able to display the salvation of the Lord in the spiritual. She could only do it in the physical. But now she's going to become one with the spiritual side. And so she's going to display both the redemption of the spiritual and also of the physical. That's why she's going to be able to go forward in great power and conquer everything that is hindering her from getting her promised land. You know, and it's only going to happen when the Bride of Christ resurrects. This is where we're at. So how do we see this in Scripture? All right, so if you go back into the Old Testament, I'm not going to give references. This is something that you're going to have to do. If you're interested in this, you read this yourself. This is what the Spirit of the Lord should drive you to do. This is what he has done with me. I am preaching what God has done to me and giving a understanding of this experience. And it should line up with the written word, because everyone in the written word are individuals who have experienced something in the Lord. And so they write about this experience in and through the scriptures. So if for us to get a understanding of what God's doing, it's always going to be the same exact thing, the same exact cycle that God does. So you can go back into the scripture and you can see, where are we at within this cycle? You know, so the cycle is this, it's the death, burial, and resurrection. That is the stamp that you must place upon all scripture. So in other words, there first has to be a suffering. And in the midst of the suffering, then is when the power of God can come on the scene and empower the sons of God in the midst of the suffering and raise them out of it, give them the strength to deal with it. Because until he does that, they will continue to suffer. There's nothing that they can do by their own strength. You know, and so this is the cycle that we must look at in the scriptures, and we can then see where we are at in this present moment. So in the Old Testament, you always had a main kingdom with a king who ruled and reigned in this natural realm. Israel was always the smaller nation, never ruling, always being subjected to another nation. You know, though she may have had freedom at certain points, she was always at battle with those around her, and she never truly was able to free herself from her enemies. She was always either winning certain things, but then she would have to go back to battle, and then she would lose things. She would lose her land back and forth. And so, but there's always this main kingdom, whether it was the Egyptians, whether it was Assyrian, Babylon, Medes and Persia, the Greek. And then now we're at this end times, which has been the Roman Empire for the past 2,000 years. So the cycle then is you have a system who rises up and comes against Israel. And in that is where they cry out to God, and he comes on the scene and strengthens the sons of God within Israel, and they go forward and fight. In this hour of time, we have Israel herself, who is married to the world. She is confederate. You know, if you go back in the Old Testament, the purpose of all things was for God to create Israel separated from all other nations. He was to be one God worshipped. And he was to show that all these other nations that believe in all these different gods, he was saying, I am that God that controls all things. And you are to trust in me. And I'm the one who will deliver you from this war and wickedness and darkness and sufferings that you go through. I'm the one that does it. You know, and this is what he was displaying in the Old Testament. Well, the leaders of Israel would always go and join themselves to other nations. And this is what God would always say, don't do this. Well, if you look in our today, what's Israel doing? She's completely joined with America. You know, she's joined with this whole system of things, because this is how God has it set up. This is where we're at. But the truth is, there is no salvation other than in and through God. America's not going to give Israel true salvation. If you look today and what's going on in the world, we have a president, President Trump, who's doing an awesome job, a great and awesome job in the natural sense. He is himself being perfected in the natural by all the conflicts coming against him, so that he can be perfected in his office, so that he can go forward and do the things that he needs to do in order to fulfill end time events here. But what he is not going to do is, he is not going to bring forth the kingdom of God in the sense of bringing forth a spiritual salvation. He is like any other Christian church today, or Christian out here in this lukewarmness, preaching these lukewarm ideas of who Jesus Christ is, and that absolutely is not Jesus Christ. He is a king over his empire, which any other Egyptian, Assyrian, Babylon, Medes and Persia, Greek, Roman Empire has always done. They have always been a king who has ruled and reigned, and according to his dictates of his heart, he has brought forward his nation. And what do? They conquer. They conquer and bring forth a peace that is pleasing unto him, the leader. You know, and so this is what Trump is doing. Trump is going to go forward and truly bring a peace that has never been experienced in the world, at least the present world today, in the Middle East and everything that's going on. He is going to bring economic stability, and how he's going to do it is by force. You know, things are going to happen, and he's going to have to rise up and go forward and to bring everything into heed unto what he believes to be the best for mankind and what is best for America. And Israel is going to go along with it. She is confederate with America. You know, the nation of Israel doesn't truly have the strength or power or understanding to go forward and do what God has promised her to do, which is to, this is her land. All of that is her land over there. And she is unable to do it. She doesn't have the strength to do it. And it's because God hasn't given her the strength yet to do it. He is going to cause these events to happen so that when he truly does come on the scene, no man can say, hey, I have believed in God. I have done this for God. You know, he is going to come on the scene in great power, and the whole world, including Israel herself, is going to be against God. You know, and so at this moment, we are in an hour where things are about to happen, where America is truly going to go forward. I don't care what the Democrat side say or any of these other nations that come against America. We are going to go forward, and we are going to take our rightful position as being the nation that rules this world. And that is what Trump is about to do. He is about to bring a peace that has never been experienced, and Israel is going to be one with this peace. You know, and this peace is going to be the peace treaty of Daniel's 70th week. Then what's going to happen is you're going to have the two witnesses rise up, and they are going to be filled with the power of God, and they're going to witness that this is not the peace that comes from God or his kingdom. This is a carnal, natural, wicked kingdom that is worshiping itself rather than God. And this is what they're going to be displaying. And they're going to witness this in such a way and great power that the world can't do nothing about it. Israel's not going to be able to do anything about it, though she is told by America to put these two prophets to death. She's not going to be able to do it. For 3.5 years, she's going to try, and she's going to fail. Then in the midst of the week is when America is going to be like, you know what, since you can't do it, I will do it. And that is what happens. You know, once again, Israel is ravished again by the very one who claims to be for Israel, which is America. You know, it's going to be Daniel chapter 12 and Zechariah chapter 12, 13, and 14. All right, so this is the cycle that you must look at. You go back and you look in the Old Testament and you see this cycle that happens each and every time. There's a nation that rises up, takes over the world. Israel's caught up in it. You know, she is the spiritual inside Israel. You always have a witness that comes on the scene and says, look, to go one way or the other, the prophet always tells the spiritual in Israel, listen, this is what you need to do in order to save yourself. And you must believe in the word of the Lord for that hour. And so this is how the sons of God within Israel and in the world itself, this is how they're perfected. And the word of the Lord comes on the scene. You believe in it. You follow in it no matter what's going on around you. You know, and so this is what's going to happen in this end times through the two witnesses. They're going to witness. And so they're not going to be hidden. They're not going to be in some church somewhere or some desert or something. They're going to be out in the open. And the world itself is not going to be able to do anything about it. They're not going to be able to shut up the word of the Lord from going forward. And they're going to be displayed in great power. You know, and this is the cycle. This is how the cycle works. You know, the word of the Lord comes on the scene. There's a suffering for it. There's a death in it. But then there's the witness of it where when they are put to death, then the resurrection happens. And this is displaying what God has been doing from day one. He's been giving life in the midst of our works of death. When that happens, when the two witnesses do rise up, that is when everything changes. That is when the Spirit of the Lord then is poured out upon all mankind. And Israel truly will go forward then in great power and take what is hers. This is what is promised. This is about God. It's not about us. It's not about creation and what we think we should have and do. This is about what God says he wants. This is about what he is doing. And he's going to get his, period. Just how it is. Whether we like it or not, it's going to happen. You know, and this is what these two witnesses are going to witness and display. So where are these two witnesses? Where are they going to come from? You know, they are the bride of Christ who have experienced the truth of who Jesus Christ is. They are the capstone of what Jesus Christ has been doing for 2,000 years of seven church ages, you know, in and through different eras of time of, you know, the beginning church rising up like a lion and going forward. And then you have the death of the gospel through the Catholic Church and the dark periods of time. And then you have this resurrecting out of this through the Protestant Reformation. But now we are in this very end part where you've had ones that come on the scene who have witnessed this is what God has been doing. They have slowly restored back the truth that there is only one God. It's not a Trinity. The predestination is absolutely what God does. He predestinates who he wants and how he wants to do it before he has created anything. He has just scattered his sons of God in and through this first sacrificial creation so that he can perfect his sons of God. And so this 2,000 years has been the spiritual side of getting things ready. So that when the time is right and he has all the pieces in play, he can then come forward and in through these two witnesses who have experienced the church and all that has come along with it. And in through them, he now displays this truth on the world scene. And then that truth is shown for what it is by being put to death. How else can he prove this? He can prove it. Sure, you have power and stuff to do things in this world. But to raise up from the dead, no one has that power. No one. Not one person. That's the whole point of what the resurrection is all about. No one can defeat death. And these two witnesses are. They're going to defeat death. They're going to display it. And that is what is going to be the testimony against all mankind. And that they worship death rather than life. That's what they produce. They produce a work of death. That's what they did. They put these two witnesses to death. And the two witnesses, though, are showing they aren't about death. They're about eternal life. And they raise up. And then they pour out the Spirit. And then is when now the bride of Christ is resurrected. And they go forward into the spiritual realm. And in the spiritual realm is where now Satan, who still has a foothold, is now cast out by the bride of Christ. And this is the spiritual part of it. This is the King of all kings, Jesus Christ, now ruling and reigning in and through his bride. It is now him in and through his bride taking Satan and casting him out. Woe unto earth, because then is when the great tribulation period begins, the last 3.5 years, and that is where this great shaking happens. But those who believe in the witnesses and what they have preached, they will be saved. You know, you have different phases going out, especially in Israel, because she's going to display us and us taking heavenly Jerusalem and cleansing it from all this wickedness of Satan. That is what the earthly Jews are going to do. They're going to cleanse Israel and all the area around it from all the wickedness. And then the world itself is going to experience the cleansing. This is what it's all about. You know, this is where we're at. This is what the church should be preaching. None of them are. Not one. And this is how God has it set up, because they aren't. They are preaching themselves, their own strength, their flesh, their own pleasure and pride is going forward. They have no clue what God is doing in this hour. It's amazing what God has been doing in and through me and showing to me, you know, and this is all for his glory. So this is the, I'm going to finish this up now. So we have the cycle. The cycle is, you have a nation that's going to rule the world, and Israel is going to be caught up in it. And the sons of God, though, inside the nation of Israel, they're going to be looking for salvation. And so when the two witnesses come on the scene, which is what it's always been in the Old Testament, you have two prophets come on the scene, and what do? They witness what God is doing, and you believe in what they say, and you will be saved. And this is where we are at in this plan of God. So next week, I might continue on this. We'll see what the Lord has in store. And by his grace, I'll be able to continue to witness about what he's doing in my life and what he's doing in the world. If you want to know more about what I believe and a fuller understanding of it, you can always go to my website. It's youngmantheprophet.com. Click on whatever. I mean, I have different things there. You can also click on my contact page, and you can always give me an email if you want to talk to me personally. All right, this is Young Man the Prophet Podcast. I'm its host, Matthew Espinlob. May the Lord Jesus Christ give you a greater understanding and what he's doing in this hour. May he give you ears to hear and eyes to see. And may he, the Lord Jesus Christ, perfect the elect.